This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The stumble bum play that you hit the Bears with.
You like that one?
You like that?
It was clever.
You like that?
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I get a text message from Leisure, and he's like, are you watching this? And I thought he was talking about the Cubs game. No, we have found the diehard of diehards with the White Sox. Leisure was watching the White Sox game.
Baseball is designed to torture you.
And he was basically like, watch, they're going to mess this up. So I said, all right. And I flipped over to the White Sox game before the festivities got bizarre.
Oh, no way.
Oh,
and that'll be on the blooper everywhere.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jason Leisure is our friend. He sends us story ideas like the one he just sent us before the segment started. He now joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Before we get into that story or the Bears, walk me through your feelings of watching the White Sox embarrass themselves a couple nights ago.
Man. Was that the clip you just played? Was it from, I had texted you like 2 days ago, the one in Kansas City?
Yes. Okay.
Well, I actually was listening to that in the car, and I was like, this will be great. And I heard him say, I had not been listening to the game. I had just gotten in my car, and it was like, I got exactly the part I needed. They're like, White Sox up one in the bottom of the ninth. And I think it was DJ was like, last thing they need to be doing right now is walking people and then immediate walk. And it's like, if you were trying to tank, you couldn't do it as well as they did it that night in Kansas City. And I just don't get mad about it because who cares? It's all a big joke anyway. There is no disappointment when you come in with the absolute lowest possible expectations. I think things are going great because Colorado is worse than them right now.
Yeah, we've been covering the rivalry just a little. I mean, it's a long season between the 2025 Colorado Rockies and the 2024 Chicago White Sox. And the Rockies have a real good shot to break that record.
And so well, big series coming up, I think, in a couple months, right?
Yes, the July 4th weekend, you White know, Sox and Rockies.
See,
is that going to be on Sunday Night Baseball?
I do not think so.
That's going to be Sunday Morning Baseball, like 6 a.m. start. No one needs to see it.
They did that with Peacock for a little while. But yeah, man, it's like that was the really embarrassing night when the defense just completely fell apart.
And ball hit Chase Mydroth in the head.
So that's, yeah, my God. So that's one thing we got to cover. The other is, have you ever interacted with the Pope or anybody who knows the Pope? Because we're convinced now, Jason, that we at the Score must have somebody in our family who is also part of the Pope's extended family.
I am not aware of any crossing paths that I've had with him.
Okay. That's too bad.
I met a guy once who rose to public office and tweeted out an AI photo of himself as Pope. But I have not met the person that you're asking about.
Yeah, no.
That guy used to send, when I worked in South Florida, used to send us the craziest faxes about what University of Miami football should do with their head coaching position. Just these half-cocked faxes about University of Miami football. But anyway.
I love the idea that it was faxes.
Yeah. Well,
me too.
We used to have that.
It used to be sponsored.
Yeah, the Barrett's Home Theater was it fax machine.
282-1160?
Oh, that's impressive. That is impressive stuff right there.
And we get a hot fax, and you have to run it into your host.
Often from Kenny Owens from LaGrange Park.
See, that's a deep cut, man. Uh-huh. Only a few are going to understand that.
I just did it for you.
Including someone who we'll see tomorrow at the event.
Yep.
He was all over it. He's the one that broke that story wide open. Anyway.
Lawrence, did you ever settle on another baseball team? You were shopping around looking for somebody else to follow?
No, I couldn't bring myself to do it, to tell you the truth. So I'm just kind of out here, like, as someone who cares about White Sox fans, but not necessarily the baseball team itself, if that makes sense. Like, I care about how fans feel. I care about a lot of people inside the White Sox organization, and I want them to be better. I just, the emotional investment night in and night out is not in me for this franchise right now.
I totally understand where you are, but you can't leave because there's a lot that you like about it. You're culturally a Sox fan.
Yes, I would say that's a very accurate description, that I am culturally a Sox fan. It's just that the stuff that's going on now with them is...
But, I mean, look, there's a lot of... So some people are culturally Jewish. You know what I mean? And you're culturally a Sox fan.
If there was a team in Montreal, that would have been it.
Sure.
But there isn't, so...
You still love UP. Speaking of this is an ongoing thing. I hadn't realized that the Cubs had put out on their marquee earlier today... Hey, Chicago, he's a Cubs fan.
Yeah, well, I got some bad news for you.
Because the Pope's brother was on WGN and told Dan Rohn, of all people, definitively that he's a Sox fan.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So this town is fighting over the Pope.
Damn right.
What a world, man.
I mean, come on.
But we know.
Southside Church, hey, Southside Theological Institute.
I'm sure.
St. Rita? I mean, it doesn't get more White Sox than that.
But all Cubs and Sox fans, they come together to love the Bears.
Yes, they do. And maybe the Pope can help the Bears turn things around.
What would the Pope do? What would he schedule as the opener? What's the ideal opener, Jason Leisure, of their schedule? Knowing what, should they get the Thursday night game? Do you think they will get the Thursday night kickoff game against the Super Bowl champion Eagles? It's possible.
They're a good choice for that.
I think so.
Like some of the other, there's some really good matchups if you're sitting there as NBC or ESPN looking for Sunday night football, Monday night football, that opening weekend. I think there's two Monday night football games, right?
If I'm in NBC, don't you go Eagles Lions?
I mean, you certainly could.
Yeah, but NBC has two. Don't they have Sunday night football that week too? I think there's four.
The champs open up on Thursday night, though, right? That's usually been.
Yes.
And if I'm them, I go Eagles Lions. And not Eagles Bears.
That's a better matchup for sure, for your Thursday night season kickoff game. But man, I mean, you gotta love Bears Commanders for an option for Sunday night or Monday night of that first week.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
Bears Ravens is a matchup you don't get very often, mm-hmm. So that's gonna probably be a candidate for primetime. And you know, old trusty, Bears Packers. You could do it anytime. Any week, and people will watch it.
What do you think about the growing interesting beef between the head coaches of the Bears and the Packers? I think that the mission has been accomplished if it's to poke the Bear a little bit. Seeing Matt LaFleur mention multiple times about Ben Johnson, I'm fascinated by him maybe feeling like he's been disrespected a little bit.
Well, think about all of the things that Chicago loves about the Ben Johnson persona right now, about the high energy, the ambition, the confidence, and all of those things are absolutely grating on the other fan bases. And it's particularly grating when you're hearing somebody chirp who hasn't, not only hasn't won yet, but hasn't even done the job yet.
Yeah, but it's we love it though. I mean, is he just is it just his version of feeding red meat to the base? Is that all it is, or is it
I think it's bigger than that? I think it's both. I think he's that level of confident in himself, and it's you've seen very clearly in 3 or 4 months. It's not a quiet confidence. Matt Eberflus was confident in himself. Maybe he shouldn't have been, but that was very understated and quiet. Matt Nagy was, you know, confident, but he was Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
I don't think Ben Johnson is going to do... I think Ben Johnson is coming out ready to go, guns blazing.
Which Bears coach would have made the best Pope? They obviously went a different way with this guy, and I wish him the best. And I wish the Vatican the best.
I think that's a pretty easy answer.
You think so?
Yes.
I heard the guys kicking around.
I don't have an answer for that, so let's hear yours, Lawrence.
I do have an answer.
Okay.
But I'm interested to hear what yours is, Lawrence.
George Halas.
But he's dead, though. We need a living.
Oh, you didn't specify. You said which Bears head coach.
That's true. That's true. How about which living former Bears head coach?
You just want me to say Wani, right? That's all you're looking for is for me to say Wani.
I think who's got the most peaceful presence of all of them? The most calm and benevolent and peaceful, strong presence.
Unfortunately, that guy just passed away, Dick Geron.
Oh, Dick Geron was a good call. I think Lovie Smith. I mean, why not? It's time for a black pope from Texas.
It's time, even though they just made a white guy from Chicago pope.
Who runs the Tampa 2. So, I mean, would the Vatican, can they play a Tampa 2? Because I'm not sure Lovie can coach a different defense. No, I think, so my answer is Lovie. Your thoughts, Jason?
The nicest coach that I've ever covered, I think, in any sport. The person who was the most generous with their time and... just friendly and kind was Billy Donovan when I covered Florida.
Okay. All right. But that's not a Bears coach. I mean, stay on topic.
Yeah, I know. I haven't covered that many Bears coaches. I'm on my third one.
I understand. Well, here are your options. Ditka. How would Pope Ditka have been? A little too irascible, I think.
He just seems like, it seems like there'd be a lot of things there that would disqualify him from the job.
There's a ton. There's a lot of things he wouldn't
have. Get your mouth shut.
Yeah. That wouldn't have worked.
Well, you need a fighting pope occasionally.
Right. I think Wani is an interesting choice. I can see Wani getting along with everybody.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
I mean, I don't know what Tony Wise's role would be in the papacy, but they'd have to find something. Pope Trestman? I'm pretty smart.
Yeah, I wouldn't be adverse to that or averse to that.
I mean, John Fox would think that everything was difficult, that it's just all the issues that he'd have to work through are just too difficult.
I think there's a lot that he would have to try and work through.
I think love is the answer. All right, I'm glad we
love
did
is the answer.
Love is the answer.
It is the answer. So what's this story that you sent us, sir?
Well, what happens now is, now that I don't have Sports Adjacent anymore, I don't have any place to share these great animal stories that I found.
You know, you could just have Sports Adjacent again if you wanted to, right?
It's the Larry.
You are really on that. You're on that. You're on that. Privately and publicly, really want it back.
If you would like, no. My point is that you're acting like it was taken away from you. And right, what I'm saying is that if you would like to do Sports Adjacent, I didn't get rid of the RSS. It's still there. we can put together an episode tonight if you want.
I know. It's so much work, man. It was so many hours in my week going into that.
Hey, man, that's how it works. But you could just you can call up and do animal stories like you're the Larry Lujack of the Bears beat right here on the
Maybe story. Maybe I could just tell him to Russ. Maybe I'll just call Russ, because Russ would hate when I would do this, by the way, which is another selling point for doing it every week on the show. Maybe I'll just call Russ real casually and just ask him about how things are going, and then I'll end it the same way I would end the podcast news wrap-up and just be like, "And finally, Russ, a woman in Ohio was pulled over by police who approached the vehicle and found a raccoon sitting in her lap with a meth pipe in its mouth." And then Russ's anger about me doing this at all would kind of soften into, wait, what is that? Tell me about that, huh? Mm-hmm. What's going on? So a 55-year-old woman in Springfield, Ohio, or Springfield County, Ohio, I believe, Springfield Township, was pulled over and with a suspended, an active warrant and a suspended driver's license. I'm reading this from ABC News. And when the officer, he went back to his squad car and then came back to the vehicle, the woman had a raccoon in her lap in the driver's seat, and the woman, the raccoon was fiddling around with a meth pipe that it had in its mouth.
Was it filling the meth pipe? Was it smoking it?
It's just a raccoon. It doesn't know what to do
you
with
don't know
something
that.
Like that.
You don't know that.
Raccoon, raccoons just only, even in Ohio, hey, I man. Think raccoons just only know food.
Their little hands, are really, they're freaky. Man, little raccoon hands.
Yes.
By the way, same size as Rex Grossman's hands, just for the record. Oh.
Wow.
One time I was driving home late at night with some Taco Bell, which is the right and only time to have Taco Bell that I know of. And I was in my dad's neighborhood, and there was a raccoon just sitting in somebody's driveway. And so this is like middle of the night. I don't remember why I was getting home so late like this, but I was just like, this will be interesting. And I just like threw a piece of my chalupa to the raccoon. And it just picked it up and started nibbling on it, just like I would.
Did it then follow you? Because that's what sometimes happens when you do that.
No. There's a park, though. We had a park in Miami called Reynolds Park where the raccoons do that.
And
they've
listen,
been way too socialized. People feed them. And so if you're in your car driving through the park and you stop and roll down your window or open the side door to your van or something, the raccoons will start coming towards you, three or four of them.
Hey, Jason,
expecting food.
One moment, in what I can only assume is a matter of breaking Pope news, we have Mark Grody has stepped into the studio and put on the headphones and has something to share with the class.
Dave Wannstedt is alive, ladies and gentlemen. There was a rumor going around on something called MTSOOCER. It says, rest in peace. NFL world mourns the loss of former Miami Dolphins football head coach Dave Wannstedt passes away at 72 after a brief illness. Now, what just happened backstage is that Chuck Swirsky, being concerned, heard about this, immediately called Mitch Rosen and said,
what?
And passed along his sympathies. He said, I'm really sorry to hear about Wanny.
Oh,
dying
God.
At the age of 71 or 72. And then Mitch was able to patch in Dave Wannstedt and have a three-way talk. Chuck thought it was an AI Wanny because he really thought that we had lost Dave Wannstedt. And now Chuck Swirsky, moments ago on Facebook, I personally just spoke to Coach Wannstedt, and he is alive and well and shot a 90 in golf and excited that Pope Leo is from Chicago. That is from Chuck Swirsky, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Wannstedt remains alive. It's a
Whoa.
Hoax. What a day today has been. But that is exactly what happened. I saw it unfold. Mitch had them all on the phone there. It took Chuck about 10 minutes to believe it, and Wanny was he's alive. He convinced him that he is still with us on this very papal day.
And in this fake news era, we've got to prove it. We're going to prove it right now. We've got Coach on the line.
Oh, Wanny!
Hey, what are you guys doing?
Well, what
is happening to the show?
You know what? I'm fixing me a
Jason?
Bourbon right now. My buddy is right now.
Okay. Are you all right? Are you okay,
hey,
Coach?
What a bunch of bullshit. I'll tell you.
Coach.
Whoops.
Hey, let me just tell you.
I'd
be
bad,
too. I shot 90
too.
Today, okay? I'm over at my buddy's house, Phil Basile, and we're going to play some bocce, have some something to eat, and... he's got octopus on the grill. I'm going to have a cigar and drink. And I tell you what, this, well, I don't know. You know, what can I say?
Well, but you're fine, though, right? Like, you're okay and there's nothing wrong and you went and played golf and everything's cool.
Everything is 100% cool. Never been better.
Okay. Oh, that's phenomenal, Coach. Hey, while we have you, Coach, would you have been a good Pope if you had a chance to have
you
been the Pope?
I went to a I went to a Catholic school for 8 years, so yeah, I think I would have been.
St. No, Bonnie.
I definitely think I, but I'm sure there's just as much politics in that. Just as, or maybe more. Who knows? You know?
I think there's more, actually. Although they got this thing done pretty quickly, so maybe some forces have come together. But you're right. When you start talking about the conclave, there's a lot of politics that goes into that. And the idea that it's an American pope and a pope from Chicago and a Sox fan, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm obviously going to Villanova. I was reading up on him. I mean, you know, I had dinner last year with Cardinal Kupich down at Terry Lefevre's house and Roseanne Lefevre, and our cardinal here, you know, talked about going out there all the time. But I know this kind of came out of left field. I had never heard of him or didn't know that he was a major player in this thing, but obviously he was.
Yeah, Coach.
Didn't become a cardinal to what, 2023? Is that, did I, someone tell me that?
Man, your Pope scouting is tremendous, by the way.
Well, I've been to the mansion downtown with Cardinal Bernardine when he was the cardinal, and had dinner at the mansion when he lived there. And I got a little bit of history here with me. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so we're figuring somebody in the Score family has to know the Pope, and maybe it's you, but you've gotten pretty close to some others. But you got to,
well, if he's a Southsider, between all the Southsiders in Chicago, trust me. Now, the only problem is you realize the list of names that he's going to have that people want to go to Rome and you know, visit with him. Oh, God. That's what I said. Jan says, well, we got to go back to Rome, back to Italy, and we got to get something wired. I says, well, geez, you know, I'm going to be 20th in line. Are you kidding me?
20th would be awesome.
Wani, I'm sorry about your brief death, but you sound good.
You sound healthy.
Sound good. Well, yeah.
Now, how would that happen? Who would do that?
I don't know. It's a place called MT.
Whatever.
I'm not even sure that we need to.
I mean, screw them, Coach. Yeah. Somebody's starting just to get some clicks and have some drama and whatever. You sound healthy and great.
Yeah. Well, I'm serious. I'm sitting here right now with a glass of wine. We're going to play a little bocce. You see, a lot of my buddies here leave and head north for the winter. You know, they leave Naples.
Okay.
So we're kind of making the rounds here now, and we make the rounds when everybody comes down, welcome back parties, and now we have welcome see you later parties, you know?
Well, I'm glad that this wasn't a see you later party for you, Coach.
Hey, never. Don't worry about me. Everything is great.
Chuck was very worried. Chuck was losing his mind, and that because he's a blessed soul.
Yeah, well, I go to Mass at noon at Holy Name Cathedral right down there. That's where I live, across the street. And Chuck kind of shocked me one day. He was up there doing the readings, and I says, God, I hope if I go to communion, Chuck's not the guy handing me the host. And sure enough.
Why didn't you want him handing it to you?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Not that I cared, but I said, surely not. And after Chuck did the readings, he worked his way down and started handing out communion. No, Chuck does it all. He's the man at Holy Name Cathedral. There's no question.
Delicious with the host.
Oh, yeah.
So that's amazing. So Chuck's probably our guy.
We mentioned him earlier.
I know.
But remember, he's the guy that's going to be getting the visitation with the Pope.
Yeah, we mentioned Chuck and John Weideman. I think both of those guys are good choices.
They moved it ahead of the class as far as visits to the Vatican. Absolutely.
That means Bill Wennington there, and I want that picture of Bill Wennington with the Pope on the motorcycle.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get
absolutely.
That. Thanks, Coach.
He's
you're the best.
You.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Didn't mean to bother you.
You never bother us.
You never do.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hi, Jason.
I'm not dead yet.
Hello.
Sorry about that, Jason.
Chaos. No, it's fine. I mean, am I understanding correctly that Mark Rohde came sprinting in with false news that I'd never heard of from a website that no one was familiar with?
That's right.
And is that what we just did?
That's what just happened, man. It all happened before me.
It's got to be on patches.com or something.
No, that's only for Matt Nagy, for people who don't remember. But I was sent. The boss said, get in there and report this news. So I was only following orders.
Okay. Well, yes. I'm glad Dave's okay. He sounded great.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I like it. I like it for you.
Not dead at all.
I like it for you because you guys have become fast friends too.
I thoroughly enjoyed Dave Watson, and that was right there among my favorite Dave Watson interactions. That was wonderful.
Jason, you brought a lot of excellent stuff to the table today. Please, I look forward to the next animal story, and we'll get deeper into all things bears and non-bears, buddy. Thank you.
Sounds good. See you guys.
That was Mark Grody and Dave Wanstead, who yep. is alive.
Yes.
That was not AI Wani. That was not a recording. That was not drops, although it's going to be turned into drops. And some of the stuff, people who were listening on the stream, they heard loud and clear.
Yeah, seriously. That was angry Wani.
Yeah, I would be angry too. Yeah, I get why he feels that way. And Jason Leisure. And now somehow we're going to transition to categories.
Oh, makes all the sense in the world.
Which is next here on The Score.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is called Categories. We play it every week on Thursdays. I am your host, Matt Spiegel. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-da. And we look at three different categories pertaining to sports news in our midst. And the third one, sometimes not sports.
Alex, are you familiar with categories?
I played one time.
Okay, I just want to make sure you were comfortable.
Comfort or not, I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Game on. I give the category, then Tanny and Alex and Lawrence give names that are in the category, as can you while playing at home. By the way, we'll talk to John Paul Morosi at the top of the hour on all things baseball, including Cade Horton, due to get the call up for the Cubs in New York. Speaking of New York, that's where they're playing the Mets. Mets, good franchise at times, real good right now. I'm looking at the top 10 position players and the top 10 pitchers in the history of the New York Mets. Cubs Mets this weekend by war, wins above replacement on Baseball Reference, top 10 pitchers and top 10 position players for the Mets ever. Lawrence Holmes, you go first.
Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza is the number 7 position player by war in the history of the Mets. Chris Tannehill.
David Wright.
Number 1 all time among position players for the Mets. Alex Kuhn.
Tom Seaver.
Number 1 among pitchers and all players with 76.1 wins above replacement.
Daryl Strawberry.
Number 2 among position players at 36.6. Tanny.
Doc Gooden.
Number 2 among pitchers at 41.6. Alex Kuhn.
Carlos Delgado.
Carlos Delgado is not, I believe, the Carlos you're thinking of. But no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Carlos Delgado is a no on this one. Lawrence Holmes.
Keith Hernandez.
Keith Hernandez, number six all time among Mets position players. Tanny.
The Carlos you're looking for, Carlos Beltran.
This is the Carlos you're looking for. Number three among all Carloses. No, number three among all Mets position players. Lawrence.
I am a stumped.
We got a bunch of pitchers left and some position players left too. A couple, I don't want to give a clue.
Mookie Wilson.
Oh, Mookie Wilson's a fun name, but not one
Damn
of the
it.
Correct answers. Tanny, give me one more for the win.
The DeGrominator.
Number three is Jacob DeGrom. Jerry Kuzman, Al Leiter, Sid Fernandez, David Cone, Ron Darling.
Franco up there?
John Franco, no, not enough. Not enough as a closer. Position players, Edgardo Alfonso, Jose Reyes. And then three currents. Brandon Nimmo. Never would have guessed it. Francisco Lindor.
I was going to pick Lindor, but I was like, maybe hasn't been a Met long enough, but he's been so good.
What about Jeff McNeil?
No. Pete Alonso, though. Those three guys are 8, 9, and 10 among position players. Next category, we stay sports. You guys remember the NFL draft? Remember that? It was a couple weeks ago. We previewed it like crazy.
No.
But thank you. Sorry, Stoney. If I noticed it, then Stoney would have noticed it. That's my fault. I didn't notice it. I'm just wondering how good the memory banks are for you and for everybody out there. I have the entire first round in front of me. Give me every draft pick from the first round of the NFL draft. Let's see how we do. Tanny, you're first.
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward is number one. Yes. Alex.
Travis Hunter.
Number two.
Colston Loveland.
Colston Loveland was number 10 to the Bears.
He's the only one I care about.
I know, but now I figure most people forgot. Tanny.
Ashton Jeanthi
went 6 to the Raiders. Coon.
Mason Graham.
He went 5 to the Browns. Lawrence.
Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart went number 25.
Oh, he did go. Okay,
you got it. Number 25 to the Giants. Lawrence.
No, I picked.
Again just for fun. No, Tanny.
Will Campbell.
Will Campbell, number four.
I'll book in this one. Josh Simmons.
Josh Simmons, number 32. Alex Kuhn is showing off. Lawrence.
Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren went to the Colts at number 14. Tanny, what's your favorite Halloween
game? I'm out, man. I'm out.
Oh, you did a nice job. Alex.
Jihad Campbell.
Campbell at number 31. Unbelievable. Lawrence, you're in for trouble with Alex Kuhn, I can tell.
I'm out.
Oh.
For the win.
For the win, Alex.
Malachi Starks.
My man.
Your guy, Malachi Starks, indeed. Went number 27. There was a lot of other guys. Abdul Carter, Lawrence, your guy.
Oh, that's my guy, too.
Your guy.
I only care about what's going on with the Bears.
See, I figure most of our brains out there.
That's usually how it works. Yes! You throw all this information in there, and then it bleeds out when your team makes their
picks. You turn off the TV, turn on the score once the Bears pick.
Yes.
So I'm surprised we made it that far.
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody's out there going, Ruben Hippolyte. Like, nope. That's your fourth round Bear, though. That's how it works. All right. And then an honor of the new Pope, Southside Bab, who undoubtedly called the score and was hung up on by any number of hosts. I'm looking at the most famous people named Leo or Leonardo or Leonard in history. I had to expand to get to a requisite number to make it a good category. So Leo, Leonardo, and Leonard. Most famous people. Alex Kuhn, you go first.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Is number one on the list of Leos.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Is number two on the list of Leos.
Leonard Fournette.
Leonard is absolutely on the list.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah, I got him as one of the Leonards. Yep.
Wow.
Well, I guess I threw in.
No.
Here we go.
It's a little subjective.
It's fine.
I'm going to admit.
I just wasn't expecting that. And now I'm like, okay.
You know what? I should have said this. There are three NFL Leonards that I went ahead and threw in just to as little treat for the audience and for you guys. I should have said that. Three NFL Leonards. So two more NFL Leonards remain.
Well, I love that hint. Give me Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd is, of course, on the list.
Leonard Nimoy.
Yes, Leonard Nimoy is there. Looking for Leos, Leonardos, or Leonards. Tanny.
Leonardo the Ninja Turtle.
He should be on the list. Real talk.
Should we give it to him?
Yes. I don't have look, just go by yes. the list. Yes. If it's not on the list,
no.
That he 100% yeah. should be on the list.
Even though he's named after DiCaprio, but still. I'm going to give it to you to extend the game and your involvement because you're entertaining. I don't want to go watch The Sopranos. Alex.
Uncle Leo.
Uncle Seinfeld reference. Mm-hmm.
Uncle Leo is not there.
Will there somebody answer that damn phone?
There's a couple other Leos I think you guys should get, though. But there's also some Leonards available, including one more football Leonard as a treat. Lawrence Holmes, what do you got?
Leo the Lion.
I don't have Leo the Lion. It's thoughtful, but no, I don't have it. Alex, got another Leonard or Leo? Or
oh, I thought I was out.
No, it's Tanny's turn.
Yeah, I'm okay, out.
Tanny, got any more? Come on, one more.
All right, we all won.
As we know,
the real winner
in the situation.
You know, tell people who the real winners are.
In
the
our
listeners.
Hearts.
The listeners.
You, the listener.
Did you happen, because you're you, to put Lynyrd Skynyrd on the list?
I did not do Lynyrd Skynyrd. But how about Leonard Bernstein? Leonard Maltin?
I did a show with him.
What about Leonard from Full Metal Jacket?
I know.
Easy, Leonard.
Leonard Cohen. Leonard Maltin, the film critic. And Leonard Little was the other football Leonard I threw on there. Leo Tolstoy? Come on, people.
Tolstoy I should have got.
Yeah. Leo Burnett, advertising legend in Chicago. You know? Leo Sayer, when I need you, just close my eyes.
We might have to put categories on hiatus for a couple of weeks.
Come on.
This is
fun.
What we're doing.
This was kicking around Leos and Leonards. I had to do something Pope related. I couldn't shed 261 popes. That would have been good.
I thought that's where you were going. Yeah, I was like, let me go into my Pope vault here for a second.
Wait the run on John Paul's.
And just add Roman numerals, you're good.
You know what? I could have done Pope names. John Paul, right? Alexander.
Are we speaking to one of those guys at 5 o'clock?
John Paul Morosi is coming
what
on.
What about NFL popes? There are a few popes that played in the NFL, right?
And Mike Francesa.
And as everybody knows, the Pope was once a pitcher for the White Sox.
And John Paul Morosi just told me he wants to get to the bottom of whether the Pope was a Cubs or a White Sox
fan. They're talking about it on MLB Network now. It's how they led the show on MLB Network.
It's a crucial. He's got to declare.
Well, especially with the Cubs putting it on the marquee.
Yes, they're in trouble.
They put it on the marquee.
Pope has worked almost 34 innings, given up 34 hits. He's walked 11 while striking out 14.
Yes. And also, Leo Durocher, people. Didn't even get Leo DeRocher. What kind of sports show in Chicago is this?
If you're judging it by the last hour, not a very good one.
I don't agree. A strange one, but I think a good one.
We'll be back to give you the Pope's numbers right after this.
There's another element to the Bill Belichick thing that I wanted to throw in. There's something about the way that he's running North Carolina football that I don't know if people know. And some people are going to be gung-ho for it, and some people are going to be like, ooh, that's why NFL teams don't like him. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Everybody else has been pretty comfortable talking about it, though.
It's a very strange thing to deny, considering that it's a memoir.
It's a weird memoir, man.
And we had a big discussion about it in class today, and it was fun to hear people who are around her age discussing it from their point of view. And... But they all kind of was. Here was the number one complaint from my students,
mm-hmm.
and they're 18 of them. They didn't like the shirt. They were all like, "Who let him wear that shirt?"
Yeah, that's interesting. I had the same reaction to that. Like that navy sweater that was his dad's. It had a hole in it. Made him look very unkempt and uncared for.
One of my students raised a point that I didn't even think of. That if you're North Carolina, take your shirt off. They're doing that at his high school in Annapolis. He's wearing a Navy shirt. He is the coach of North Carolina, and there is not anything that is connected in his presence to North Carolina.
That's not very social media literate if you're trying to pump up North Carolina.
So here's the thing. I love to go down rabbit holes when it comes to some of this stuff. And someone was like, did you watch the North Carolina spring game? And I was like, obviously no. You know, I checked in on Alabama because I want to see what's happening down in Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide. University of Illinois didn't have one because too many players were injured this year. Hmm. But it's a big thing. It's a party around college football.
When you high have tide!
High tide indeed. When you have these things, it's supposed to be fun. It's a little bit of a carnival. It's about selling the program to everyone that might be interested in it. And considering there's a ton of buzz, or there was a ton of buzz about Bill Belichick, Speaks, here's what he did in North Carolina's spring game.
Mm-hmm.
He took the numbers and names off the players' jerseys.
Numbers and names. So this is some like classic Yankees, or really military sports program ish.
Yes.
We're like, oh, the hole
is
bigger.
You've got to earn it.
Yeah, and the hole is bigger than, it's not about you as a person. And he's trying to build that culture and all of that.
I've seen this play out where it's like, if you're in Texas, I'm going to use Texas as an example. If you're in Texas, you don't get a Longhorn on your helmet until you make, I've seen that. Now imagine you're young Alex, and you're there to cover North Carolina's spring game. And you're sitting there looking at the players, and you don't know who is whom. That's insane.
And what's insane is that the players need to be excited about doing this, and it is at least in part about them, especially now.
Especially in the spring.
Especially in the spring, because the spring thing is more of a celebration.
It's supposed to be kind of like a coming out party to get people excited. There were 2,000 people who showed up. That's it. To put it into perspective, and I get Alabama is a whole different thing. Alabama had 92,000 people at their spring game. Ohio State, I think, had 100,000 people at their spring game.
They're supposed to have a Belichickian buzz that kicks those kind of numbers up. That's the whole idea, isn't it?
So one of the things I said to the students was, I'm going to put myself in the role as parent, since the dynamic, the age difference between me and the students is about right. And I said, if you all were recruits at whatever sport and you were being invited to North Carolina's spring game to help sell you on North Carolina, if I'm your parent and I see that that's what's going on at North Carolina, when we get back in the car, I'm like, why don't we go check out what's happening at Wake Forest? Let's go revisit some of those letters from Louisville and Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, I don't want you to be a part of this. Like imagine
you see, that's interesting. I could see some of the parents being like, oh, I like that. He's going to learn to be part of a whole. But I could see some of the kids. I could see a lot of the kids being like, where's the me in this? Like it's, especially these days in college sports, man, with NIL and actually making money, there's a lot of me that is a part of team. There's a lot of I that is a part of team. And you gotta balance that in college sports these days.
I wonder if some of this stuff, and I know that, coming from a family that has a lot of reverence for the military, I wonder if some of this stuff that he's out here doing in his 350-page book on how things are going to be different, I wonder if NFL teams are like, nah. Because I was upset that the Bears didn't at least talk to him, but now I'm wondering if that's why. If they knew that some of this stuff came with it and no one wanted to turn their organization over to him.
Feels like he's trying to kind of cosplay as his dad while using the gravitas of his own career as well. Doesn't it?
He called the session Play Like a Pro Day. I'm telling you, if Ruben was like, hey, Uncle Lawrence, take me down to Chapel Hill, I'd be like, Ruben, we got some other places to check out. Speaks, put me in charge, and we're going to see what's going on at Western Kentucky before we send you to Chapel Hill.
I don't think football practice is in Ruben's future.
Yeah, I don't want to limit him.
Yeah, no, that's true. You want to take him to the planetarium or someplace like that.
That's fine, too.
You can do it.
When we come back, John Morosi is going to join us. Apparently, they are having big discussions in the baseball world on whether the Pope is a Cubs fan or a Sox fan. We'll discuss it with him next here on The Score.